All right, so Rick Emerson Show. What was your suggestion?
Kissing my ass to the max.
Turn it up. All right, so Rick Emerson Show, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by.
Ooh, how about that radio station sucked?
That's good.
That's a good one, too.
That's really good. Hold on. That radio station. Jen Lane hooked me up with this great online voting software. So that radio station sucked. Sucked. This radio station. You know, here's the thing about that liner.
God, there.
Sarah. Here's the thing about that liner when you're over at Max. And by the way, I did get an email from someone just like, Rick, I don't have it in front of me. He's like, I am one of your new listeners. And he's like, what is Max? What is kissing? Long story short, we used to be on a station called Max, which was elsewhere in Portland. And it was sort of like a musical chairs thing where there was an FM station that became Charlie. And then our station became kissing and we became jobless. So that's kind of the deal there. So there you go. That's the shorthand. So Max became no more. It became kissing. Kissing became Charlie. Blah, 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 blah. Everyone became bored. It's 503-733-2970. Here's the thing, though, is that on Max, they used to run this liner. This is, and I don't mean to be all prissy about it. Like, I don't mean to be bitchy. Because I know that I can be that way sometimes, be a little precious about these things. But here's the thing, is that comedy, look, I don't know a whole lot in this life. I was telling somebody this the other day. I don't have a lot of skills in this life. Very few skills do I have. But, you know, I know what works linguistically. And listen to me stammering as I'm trying to talk about grade A with language. Oh, I talk pretty one day. All I'm saying is, I kind of know what's funny. And most importantly, it's not even just that I know comedy. It's not just that I know what's funny. It's not just that I know what works. I do sometimes. It's that I know what doesn't work. That's the thing. Janine Garofalo said this thing one time. Janine Garofalo said, she said, I'm not always funny. She said, but I know what a hack is and I know what's terrible. And that's my thing. I'm not always the funniest thing you've ever heard. Sometimes I say stuff that doesn't really work, but I know what's awful. And I know what kind of works, but misses the mark a little bit. And here's the thing. They used to run this line. It was like, this radio station sucks. Turn it up. Now, you can have either one of those. You can have, you know, whatever, blah, 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 Max, turn it up. That's fine, sort of a, you know, crank it up, rip off the knob, kind of a rock sort of a thing. Or you can just have, like, you know, Max, da-da-da-da, this radio station sucks. Like, that's sort of amusing. You know, it's kind of funny. You can't have both. You do both, it's a little bit of each, not enough of each. It's no longer funny, and it's no longer sort of, you know, swaggering. It's just stupid.
And like rock and roll without the records.
That's, oh, God, God. Boy, and that's another thing. Please, for the love of sweet Christ.
Do not refer to yourself as rock and roll.
Don't ever refer to what you're doing as edgy, as rock and roll. Please, it's like calling yourself hip. You can't do it. And here's another thing you need to know. I don't care what you think your sensibilities are. If you are not actually rock and roll, you can't refer to whatever you're doing as being rock and roll. It's like that horrible thing they do in the press where they talk about some guy who's not a rock star. But they go like, blah, 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 he's a rock star. Like, they'll talk about Steve Jobs that way from Apple Computer. He may be very popular, he may be whatever. Only rock stars are rock stars. And calling some guy who, you know, who wrote like an interesting piece of software and therefore geeks all over the world have his picture tacked up above their motherboards, he's not a, quit referring to them as rock stars. It's stupid. Same thing with this. But how often, Tim, and you've heard this.
Yes.
I know I'm officially ranting, but how often have you heard this in talk radio especially? And it's always, always, always with some hideous right-wing Republican talk show host. And they refer to them at Jay Severin they tried to do this with. They tried to do it with Laura Ingraham. They tried to do it with people who are probably off the air by now. Mary Madeline. It's a whole host of people who failed miserably because they thought this was a lot easier to do than it is. And they're all, he's a rock and roll Republican! I mean, it's not so much your skin crawling, it's like your skin is actually running off of your body. It's like your skin is actually tearing itself away from your body and running to hide in a hole somewhere. Don't do these things, please. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. This radio station sucks, though. That's almost funny. It's like 80% of the way there.
That radio station sucked.
That radio station sucked.
They leave the seat up.
Oh, God, I forgot about
flashbacks.
That one.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Speaking of rock and roll Republicans, Tom DeLay is calling it quits. And in an interview on the Fox News channel, DeLay says, it's time to do something else. DeLay is under investigation in the ongoing Jack Abramoff lobbying and ethics scandal. He denies any subversive links to Abramoff as the reason for his resignation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
these are the second hours.
I was told there'd be no math. Okay.
Oh, the Abramoff affair has nothing to do with me. The Justice Department has told my lawyers I'm not a target of this investigation.
No, not much.
What those men did have greatly disappointed me, but it has nothing to do with me.
Oh, see, okay, this is when the wheels come off the wagon.
No, this is how you talk to Fox News Channel.
Okay, but listen, okay, in the future, when they talk about the political implosion of Tom DeLay, this can be pinpointed as the moment when it became a fait accompli, as they say. Mm-hmm. Because, listen to him, here's what you don't want to do. He's throwing the people under him, he's throwing his subservience, this is my karma for saying that I knew language earlier, he's throwing his subordinates under the wheels. Listen to him just throwing them in front of the train.
The Abramoff affair has nothing to do with me. The Justice Department has told my lawyers I'm not a target of this investigation.
Here we go. Wait for it.
What those men did have greatly disappointed me, but it has nothing to do with me.
What those men did greatly disappointed me, but has nothing to... Listen to him. If you hear, you can actually hear his boot hitting the ass of his aides and kicking them out in front of the car. That's a thing they're not going to forget, and I'll tell you what, man, those knives come out quickly. They're going to carve him up like he was made out of ham.
Tom DeLay says he's never done anything illegal.
I have always served, I think, honorably and ethically. I've never broken a law, nor the spirit of the law, nor a house rule. In fact, I'm the most investigated man in Washington, and they still have not been able to charge me with anything because there is nothing there.
I believe he called it, let's listen again, I believe he called it the Washington.
I have always served, I think, honorably and ethically. I've never broken a law, nor the spirit of the law, nor a house rule.
Here we go.
I'm the most investigated man in Washington, and they still have not been able to charge me with anything because there is nothing there.
Well, week's not over yet, Tom.
Now the lady's facing another possible headache. Texas residents Jim Schermerbeck and Mark Burnham are scheduled to release a film about DeLay called, quote, The Big Guy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. Schermerbeck describes how his film portrays DeLay's Texas congressional redistricting plan.
It's a master plan that he's had in mind for some time to come into Texas and redistrict the state to acquire five or six new Republican Congress folk that he could send up to D.C. and kind of reinforce the hard right Republican majority in Congress.
I'll tell you what, it's a bad time to be a politician in many ways because you're living in the post-Michael Moore era. With the expansion of technology and so forth, it meant everybody with a handicam who decides that you're a politician who's done something that if you ever cast one vote that somebody doesn't like, there will be a documentary made about you. It's gonna happen. So it doesn't matter. If your name has ever been on a ballot for anything in any country, there will be a guy in a baseball cap following you around deciding that you're his ticket into Sundance.
Once again, Tom DeLay reports he's done nothing wrong.
Okay.
A recent study on by the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center suggests attending religious services can add over 3 whole years to your life. Dr. Daniel Hall conducted the study, theorizing that regular churchgoers have lower stress levels and offers an explanation for his conclusion.
Okay, I know the real answer whenever this guy's talking.
There have been studies that would suggest that people who attend religious services more frequently or are more religious than however you want to measure that, than their secular counterparts, they have lower cortisol levels.
Is that like having a lower midichlorian? What is a cortisol? I don't even know what that is.
Probably something in your colon.
When in doubt, it's something in the colon.
Yes.
Cortisol sounds like one of those things that they advertise, like B. Arthur would be advertising. For topical use only. Cortisol sounds like one of those things that, like, the Gold Bond Company would be advertising during the Jim Bohannon overnight show.
Sponsors Lawrence Welk and his champagne music.
Exactly. No, as everybody, clearly the reason for this is, the more often you go, look, as I'm sure everybody has noted, the more often you go to church, the less likely you are to be doing anything remotely enjoyable in your life.
Read, at least for an hour.
Read drinking, drugging, ever touching a member of the opposite sex, the same sex. Doesn't matter. I mean, if you're spending your entire life in some hermetically sealed bubble with a bunch of papyrus praying to a thing, you know, it doesn't matter. It's clearly your chances of... I mean, as prayer goes up, fun goes down. As fun goes down, life goes up. As life goes up, boredom goes up. So, you know, I know which side of the rail I'm on there.
That's it for now. We'll return later with more.
Listen, have we never had to end this segment before? That's the first time you've ever sort of had to ad hoc an ending right there.
Oh, because you always ask me, is it over? So finally, I volunteered that information. That is it. It is indeed
that
over.
That was hilarious. That was just sort of, it didn't even stop. Like the news just sort of, like you just sort of ended the news now with just sort of a, that was sort of that, okay. That was it. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us from Los Angeles to talk about
discussion center on.
Thank you, Tim. We'll be talking about hazing. We will be talking about hazing in colleges. And as Sarah pointed out, even before the show began today, that'll be my excuse to ask her a lot of pointed questions about women greasing each other up. It's 503. It doesn't matter. It's not going to stop me from asking about it. It's 503-733-2. 970. Hold on, let me check my matrix. What is that I'm supposed to be doing here?
I don't know. I still want to hear about the person shoved in the ATM.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up on the next news.
See, it's a guarantees. It's a... We did guarantees and we did something else. We used to do something else in addition to guarantees. I forget what they
remember
were.
That was the paperwork I had on 94.7.
That's true. Do you still have that?
I do in the plastic bag that I have, the garbage bag I have in my car. Yeah.
As when Sarah, when you went to work at KNRK, they gave you a whole
plastic bag.
It was
things.
No, it was like this terrible like list of like how to be a radio show host, and it was like hold on, it
yeah.
was terrible. It
and
was,
one of the memos was called guarantees.
It was so awful, and literally there was a whole paragraph about how to deliver a guarantees, and that was like, and a guarantees is one of those things where if like your show is so boring, if your show is so uninteresting that you have to fabricate something. To make people curious about what, like, if you can't keep someone's attention for the next 2 minutes.
But if you're only given 10 seconds to speak every half hour, how interesting can it possibly be?
You really do. I mean, well, I guess it's like if you ever come up on a break on a stop set, you know, as they call it at the station, if you ever come up on a commercial break and you're really having to ask yourself, how can I make people care about something that's going to happen in 180 seconds? Really, you ought to be examining perhaps other choices and other decisions you've made prior to that at your radio station. It seems like you've probably taken a series of increasingly weird left turns in your programming style. If you're really having to question whether people have motivation to keep listening for another 3 minutes. Moving on. That being said, coming up at 2:30 on the Rick Emerson Show, Jim Roop will be joining us from Los Angeles. We'll also hear about a woman stuffed into an ATM machine, and Whitney Houston is walking around in a soiled diaper.
With no teeth.
It's all on the way. Oh, good
times. You're
funny. I try to amuse. And I got this news pile stuff, too, in the Three Little Pigs thing. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hello. Is this, am I on here?
Oh, you want to talk to Tom? Yes, you're on the air.
I want to talk about 3D. Rick, I got to tell you, I am a convert. Actually, I was never a big detractor of 3D. I do know that it had some problems in the past, but let me tell you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were a convert to my show, and I was going to be all impressed.
Oh, no, long-time listener, love the show.
Wait, hold on. Are you a first-time caller?
No. I'm not. Sorry, no sound effects.
Yes.
All right, sorry. I'm going to have to get like a... You know, we've got that the no sound, the Darth Vader. I should just get that when someone is not a first-time caller.
Oh, go for it.
All right, well, whatever. Hey, what do you got? What's up?
Hey, I'm talking about the difference between IMAX and OnMAX, first of all. If you've only seen...
Are you an engineer somewhere?
No. I've just been in the theaters,
okay.
And I hate OmniMax, and I love IMAX. They are two different experiences, two different things.
IMAX is a big-ass screen. OmniMax is the thing that surrounds you.
And that is the thing that gives you the headaches and has the distortion.
No.
Is only available in second-tier cities like Portland.
Okay.
You go to Seattle or you go to Washington, D.C., you get the real deal. You get the IMAX screen.
Okay,
Seattle
what
has two IMAX screens. And
what?
I went up there... Oh, a few months ago, and saw The Magnificent Desolation, Walking on the Moon, in 3D. It's a religious experience. You got owe it to yourself to drive up there and see it. So I got to tell you, anything that's on an IMAX screen, I'm in for. I'll pay double the price for a regular ticket.
Okay.
It's worth the drive. You got to go see it, and it will not give you headaches, and it's nothing like the nausea-inducing Omnimax that we have here in Portland.
I just like the phrase. Thank you.
It's like getting the square root with the hypotenuse.
That's what the people at OMSI get for being so difficult. The nausea-inducing
Omnimax. It is.
Omnimax.
It's awful. It's awful, and there's no comparison. IMAX is a gem. Omnimax is... Stay away.
And the employees stink, and they rifle through your purse.
That's the place.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right.
I've never met someone with a passion for 3D films.
Seriously,
before.
I really thought he was going to start whipping out, like, schematic information. He sounds like the engineers here when they... Like, I'll ask a question. Like, this is me. Like, I'll come in and talk to the engineers and be like, hey, there's a really loud humming sound on the phone lines, and it's just sort of a high-pitched... Can you... And they'll immediately begin, like, well, if you look in the oscilloscope, you'll see that the bifurcated invertebrator is registering a 5.1. And I've had this Sean guy, Sean, who is our engineer, who's a fantastic engineer, by the way, but he's one of those guys that is, like, so smart... That, like, his brain in first gear just outstrips me at, like, my most intellectual ever. And so I've actually had to start prefacing my conversations with the engineer by saying, I don't need to see the math. Just tell me it'll be fixed. Just tell me when I turn off the station, whatever it is not going to be happening anymore. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Please don't be boring.
Dude, I have got the ultimate name for the party.
That's a bold statement.
This is a nod to you, a nod to Tim, a nod to Sarah, and a nod to an old friend of yours.
So wait, this is an all-encompassing name, you're saying?
This is a nod that ends up looking like headbanging, man.
Okay.
Theater of brain. And that's it.
Not even a goodbye. A lot of thought went into that.
Okay. Whitney Houston, right here in the Enquirer.
In a diaper? Did you say that?
The best part is how, as soon as he said it, he knew, like, he could sense the reaction of the room. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're up in front of the crowd, like, you're at, you know, when you're at Harvey's and you're doing the, no, you've been a great, and it's like, as you're throwing out the joke and you can just, it's like hitting the floor like a half-deflated basketball. Mm-hmm. Theater of brain. Why would you wait on hold? Whatever. All right, so let me read this Whitney Houston story. Then we gotta we'll do a break here, and then we'll come back, and around the corner we got the Gary Baumgarten up coming up at 2:30.
I thought we already had him.
No, I'm sorry, Jim Roop, as well as Tim Ryle. I'm distracted by this picture of Whitney Houston, and the prospect of her not having any teeth. All right. So this is from the National Enquirer, and again, I noted that I bought this at Fred Meyer the other day because I'm standing in line.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to not pay attention.
I was just. Yes.
I know. I just,
we were doing so well, and this last 15 minutes has just been one big disaster.
I had to look at a picture of Jim Roop because we saw Gary Baumgarten. He has the same matching enormous mustache.
Wait, let me look.
Are you sure that's not just a picture of Gary Baumgarten?
That's Jim Roop.
I thought Jim Roop had red hair for some reason.
He looks slightly redheaded. I'm sorry for distracting you. This is not
Is it like a rule that when you go to work at CNN, they just stick the mustache right on you? Here you go. Put that on.
You should ask him.
Yeah, I'll be sure to do that. Hey, Jim, you look like a pedophile. What is, No, I'm not saying that. It's just, it's a prominent mustache. It's not as bad as Gary Baumgartner's stuff. Don't tell Jim I said any of these things, please. All right, I got to read this Whitney Houston thing. So I'm at Fred Meyer the other night, buying some crab at Fred Meyer. And again, as I said, I've become incapable of resisting anything that with Whitney Houston's face on. It doesn't matter. You could put Whitney Houston's face on a bag of celery at this point, and I would have to buy it. I'd be obligated. And thank God I was at the U-scan thing where you scan it yourself, because I don't want anybody seeing my shame. Except, have you ever done this? You ever buying something, you know, like you're buying the Enquirer, you know, or you something you want everybody to see, you know, like your dandruff control, you know, shampoo or whatever. And it's like, and that's when it always just like, it jams up and it's like, call cashier for assistance. And she comes over and she's like,
oh, totally.
Totally. And she comes over and she's like, what's this athlete's foot powder for? So, you know, I don't know. It's not mine. Anyway, it totally bogged up and I had to call the cashier. And then, this is how trashy I am. So I'm in my car on the way home. I can't even wait till I get home to begin reading it. So I'm actually in traffic. If you looked over, there I am in my car, like steering with one hand and like reading the Enquirer with the other. All that was missing was like a smoke and like a baby in the back seat and like a country music sticker in the back window. All right, so we've got this. And it's got a picture of her bathroom, which I'm sure you can see by now, where she's covered in filth and scum and ooze and dreck. This shocking scene of sleazy mayhem is damning proof of Whitney Houston's tragic addiction to crack. Our sensational exclusive photo shows the superstar singer's private bathroom after she's locked herself away for days. This is where I can hear the voice of Bill Curtis in my head, by the way. For days on yet another self-destructive binge. Amid the trash, leftover food, and empty beer cans are tools of the hardcore drug fiend. But this, I can really hear this in my head as like Troy McClure reading this.
Sounds like an Ed Wood movie.
It really does. This.
Pipes, rolling powders, spoons in which powdered cocaine is cooked into crack, lighters. The picture was taken by one of Whitney's closest friends and relatives, Tina Brown, sister of her husband Bobby.
Pull the string.
The sky now just a shroud where her body once lay.
It is the first time one of the serial Grammy winners' inner circle has opened the door of despair and depravity that has led Whitney's family to fear that she is just one fix away from a fatal overdose. See, this is the great thing about Whitney Houston is, you know, because no one, I don't care what anybody says, no one stops doing crack, all right? You stop doing crack when your heart stops pumping oxygen to your brain. That's when you stop. So the inevitable, we should just prepare the obituary now. I mean, I'm sure, look, we know that all the news organizations are doing that, right? Every news organization has got to be, they've got to have the obituary already written. Just waiting to plug in the date. This bathroom squalor, apparently, is just one small part of Whitney's harrowing world. Tina, 42, knows Whitney's drug habits well. A recovering addict herself, she and her sister-in-law were, quote, drug buddies for many months. I did crack with Whitney, she says. The truth needs to come out. She won't stay off the drugs. Here we go. In the most explosive interview ever about Whitney, Tina tells how the 42-year-old singer spends days locked in her bedroom amid piles of garbage and crack, smoking drugs, using sex toys to satisfy herself, and ignoring personal hygiene. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to be very circumspect about this because I respect our audience.
Did you just read that out loud?
When they say using sex toys to satisfy herself,
oh my God,
and ignoring personal hygiene, you know that those two statements are connected. You know that that's true.
Ew.
That the use of sex toys.
How long was she in there?
Days and days and
maybe at least dishwasher safe.
Probably 28 days at least, if that's what you're asking. When she's high, she imagines demons are beating her. But in fact, she's biting herself and punching her body black and blue with her own fists. What I wouldn't give to have a video of this. Her family became so worried they'd stage an intervention, but she fled by jumping out a second-story window. Apparently, it's become so bad, even her crazy antics have led a hardened dealer to ring up Bobby Brown and demand that he, quote, take his bitch of a wife home. How out of control are you when a crack dealer is kicking you out of his place of business? Blah, 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 demons, blah, 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 Bobby beating, blah, blah, blah. Tina soon came to realize these hallucinations were the reason for the bite marks that regularly appeared on Whitney's arms. What other excuse would there be? What other explanation would there be for deep bite marks on Whitney's legs? Whitney told Tina, quote, this is how it's written. The devil be hitting me. What? I walk by, he just be going bam. What does that even mean? Bam is capitalized, by the way, for no reason. The devil be hitting me, I just walk by, and he be going bam. I rebuke the devil, he always be hitting me. Moving on. Blah, 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 breaks everything, yada, yada, drills holes in the house. Hotel, filthy, screaming, blah, 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 devil be hitting me. Went on a crack binge before they put her into rehab. Jumped out another window. Let's see. Whitney would smoke crack in the car on the way to the rehab center and then make excuses for not providing urine. What excuse would you make for not providing urine? The doctors were so hyped on seeing Whitney, she would say, I'm going to act crazy. She would say, yeah, yeah, I not giving you no pee today. I. She's turned into Jar Jar Binks. I'm serious. This is the way it's written. I'm. She's. I'm not giving you no pee today. I don't have none right now. I sure enough likes to shuffle. That's me adding that part. Tina stopped doing drugs last January. In April, rather. In January, she visited Whitney's home to check on her state while Bobby was performing. Whitney was gone, but the state of the bathroom showed Tina the singer had been on another drug binge. That's when she took these photographs. During her drug binges, Whitney often loses a set of false teeth she wears. She loses them in the house, and when she's out on drug binges, they cost $6,000, and her dentist has to keep FedExing her new teeth. Whitney...
Maybe she keeps stepping on them with her bare feet.
Whitney, minus her false teeth, once showed up at school where one of Tina's children attends classes. She forgot her teeth and was scaring the children. My kid cried about it. Doing that stuff, crack, makes you think you're beautiful, but you wouldn't recognize Whitney when she's strung out without false teeth. She looks like an 80-year-old bag lady. And then it ends on the following note. Now picture this, by the way. As Tim noted, she does look like Don Imus in blackface. And she has no teeth, apparently. All of that, keep it in mind as you hear this. Coming next week, how drugs have turned Whitney into a sex-crazed monster. Ooh, good times.
Did you already pre-order that, Rick?
Hot. We'll be back after this, The Rick Emerson Show. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. You know, that image of... It's just an image of Whitney Houston with no teeth and a child's diaper showing up at school with sex toys, ignoring her personal hygiene. Good times. And then, like, here on the next page, there's an ad for some like potency drug, you know, some product that you take. And then listen to the quote. It's an ad for one of these lotions or something you use that makes your sex life good again. And I listen to this quote, this poll quote. I felt sensations I'd never felt before in places I forgot existed.
Was that after her teeth fell out?
No, I'm just...
Wait, who said that, Whitney?
No, the woman in this ad for this product.
Oh. It's their own personal recommendation.
It's my boyfriend's secret for amazing sex. No, not Whitney. Oh, and it's okay. Like some sex lotion. But listen, Paul Goode, I felt sensations I never felt before in places I forgot existed.
Oh, maybe it was a place she hasn't been able to see for quite some time. Depending on where she might come from.
No, thank you. No. Jesus.
Well, I'm just trying to get to the heart of the story.
Trying to get to the heart of something. All right.
That is my job, you know.
Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Okay.
They don't have people who dig for news down there the way we do here.
Let's all get a hold of ourselves. Okay.
What does that mean, though?
I don't even know. What does it mean when you're...
In places I forgot existed.
I don't know. We should... Jim just snorted.
Sorry.
Maybe there's a television version on Oxygen or something that we haven't seen yet.
Jesus. Okay. How you doing, Jim?
I'm well, sir. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. I am almost tempted to call this 800 number and say, what is this place? What place you forgot exists, like Montana? It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
I mean, if you forgot the place existed, maybe that's the problem with your sex life. You're unsure of where everything goes. I don't know. I forgot. It must go somewhere. My ear? All right. Okay. Hi, Jim. How's life in Los Angeles?
It's beautiful, man.
You sound high. It's genius, man. It's beautiful.
It's all the endorphins that have been released since I started laughing.
Oh, God. All right, I gotta put this Inquirer away. It's freaking me out. Hey, where does Whitney Houston live? Is it in L.A.?
I thought she lived in New York.
Is that true? I actually don't know. I don't think the article actually says. I guess I just assumed it was Los Angeles.
She gets arrested in L.A.
they're trying to respect your privacy.
She's always arrested at LAX. So I think that's like somewhere.
I don't know. I don't think it says. All right. Oh, God. All right. Hold on. We're going to become professional now. All right. So did I read this correctly? Do they have you? They have you covering something about college hazings?
Well, there's a new bill being proposed that will make anyone who participates in. I'm killing my career.
Well, it's about time that this has happened.
This is a very serious bill. This is, for those just tuning in,
it's called
Gary Baumgarten.
It's called Whitney's Bill.
Okay.
This is a very serious bill. It will make a felony anyone who participates in hazing that results in serious bodily injury or death, and it would also make non-students accountable if they're involved in it. That's what this bill will do. Okay. They just want to stop people from hazing.
Okay. Who might be behind this bill, Jim?
Like, Tim is just taking the wheel. It's like an airplane. I've just slumped over from bad fish. Tim's having to fly.
This is Tom Thorlickson. He's a state senator here in California, so this would just be a California law.
Here's the thing I wonder about with these hazing bills, and I really do wonder this. I saw this morning, and it was like Jim is talking about a bill to outlaw hazing or to make it more, you know, whatever, to crack down on it. Here's my question is, there is always what they call an instigating incident. There is always some story, a thing that happened somewhere to some kid of somebody powerful.
Yes.
That is the cause of this bill.
Yes, that's exactly what happened here. It was February of 2005, a little over a year ago, Matt Carrington, he died while being hazed, pledging a fraternity at Chico State. He was forced to drink gallons of water and do calisthenics in frigid temperatures.
I remember that. We actually had you on about that, but they made him drink like 9,000 gallons of water and do a bunch of jumping jacks in like 10-degree weather.
Yeah, it was very cold.
I mean, it is...
Why didn't he say no?
That's the thing. It's like at a certain point, you think your Darwin instinct would kick in.
You can't say no if you're pledging a fraternity.
Well, Sarah, you pledged a sorority.
I did, but we didn't really go through that much. But, I mean, the fraternity guys, I felt so bad for them. They would drop, like, 10 pounds in a week. They wouldn't sleep. They'd have to share, among, like, 15 of them, they'd share, like, one Snickers bar for the week.
Now, Jim, did you ever belong to a fraternity?
Yes, I did, sir.
Okay, see, I was about to uncork the screw those guys thing. But, I mean, did you have to do anything like this?
Well, we went through our hazing, but nobody died.
They swallowed goldfish and put people in phone booths.
Yeah, sat on a flagpole.
You pick up olives with your butt off of a block of ice, that kind of thing. I mean, it wasn't anything where we were going to die.
I never really thought I would hear a CNN correspondent talk about that.
Not that I've ever done that, but...
No, of course
not. It's not in his biography.
Is it on your online bio on CNN? If not, could it be?
I have no idea what's in that online bio.
Oh, we do. We were just looking at it, actually.
Oh.
Sarah was looking at it. Well, okay, it's a long story. Here's the thing. Never mind. We shouldn't even talk about it.
It's for another day.
It has nothing to do with you. Really, we were just looking up Gary Baumgarten's biography.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were all kind of linked together, and it's a whole thing. Okay, well, okay, so the point is, if somebody tells you, I really do view this as just sort of an aggressive, it's as George Carlin would say, it's just sort of a passive eugenics, that if somebody suggests that this is, you know, what's your pledge? Well, you got to jump in front of a moving school bus. You know, if that sounds like it's something you should be doing, I mean, somebody who hears that and thinks it's a good idea, you know what, that is the guy who should do it, because I don't want that guy having kids of his own, you know?
Or move to off-campus housing.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, the thing is, every university has a policy against hazing, whether it be in the sports side of things or whether it be in the fraternity side and sorority side of things. Yet no one really enforces the rules against hazing. And I think all this bill is going to do, really, is make people scrutinize their policies and make sure they step up and do it, because what this bill will also do is make the fraternity and the university and or the sports department responsible, not just the guys involved. So now the school become financially liable if something like that happens.
Because the school and the sport, they always know that stuff's going on anyway. Everybody knows, all the coaches, everybody knows that kind of stuff's going on. I mean,
as ridiculous as it may sound, there is sort of a rite of passage to that kind of thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily.
No.
You know, but when it borders on,
hey, you're making a guy,
somebody, you know,
yeah, you're making a guy drink liquid cement or something. That's no good.
Yeah. No,
all right,
that's kind of ridiculous. But you know, it's just another thing to keep the legislators employed.
All right, we should bring the curtain down on this segment right now. Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent, par excellence.
Sorry, I wasn't better.
No, my friend, you were fantastic. You did the best you could in a tricky situation today. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Jesus. Okay. Let's all, Sarah.
So I'm reading about him. Jim Roop has accomplished a lot.
Has he?
Yeah, and his son has some kind of muscular disorder, and he's the head of the Southern California chapter of families with spinal muscular atrophy.
Okay.
And he won a gold mic. He also was a news director, a midday anchor, and he started some cable radio network company.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe he can give us a job someday when they fire us. Excellent. All right. Okay. We have like 80 minutes of commercials. How many?
Yeah, we should probably
14
break.
To 90, something. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
Oh,
and Tim, what have we got?
A woman is bound, robbed, and stepped into an ATM. We'll finally have details coming
it
up.
It is our guarantees. All right, we're going to take callers 9 and 10. We're going to take callers 9 and 10. We'll be giving you a pair of tickets to Weston Sport Fight. Weston Sport Fight coming up this Saturday, April 8th. April 8th. Don't go anywhere. We will be back after this. It is the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Callers 9 and 10 at 503-733-2970. You get the callers 9 and 10. Multiple bleeps. Callers 9 and 10 will win tickets to a Weston Sport Fight coming up in the Rose Garden this Saturday. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All right, I'm not going to say what woman that was just said about.
Mishmash of the gene pool.
See, I knew Tim would see it my way.
About a certain woman who we will not name.
From the hamburger helper belt.
She is rather ordinary, isn't she? From the hamburger helper belt.
I know the way Tim does it.
She is
rather ordinary.
She's a good, God-fearing, pie-baking lady from Ohio or something.
A mishmash of the gene pool. I didn't think we were ever going to get control with Jim Roop there.
Yeah, we're totally in control.
I thought we were going to veer off into just a... Yeah, I thought she was just going to implode right there. Okay. I'm sorry. I have to read this one Whitney Houston email. And then we will have Tim talk about this woman stuffed into an ATM. What the hell is wrong with this world?
I'm glad it's the way it is.
Subject line, Whitney. I don't know that I can read this email without losing control. Sarah, would you like to come read it?
Sure.
All right. Why don't you come read this email? This is, go ahead. The subject line of this email is Whitney.
Okay. Setting aside as best we can all the mental imagery that came with that story of shattered dreams, moist diapers, and horrifyingly cracked out and toothless faces, bam, I still have a question. How does one go about biting one's own legs? I can't imagine a crack whore getting their legs all the way into their mouths without their bones exploding. In fact, the only people I know that can get their legs near their mouths are infants. Then again, that explains the diapers.
Maybe that's what made her teeth fall out.
And by the way, his phrase was, I can't imagine a crack whore getting their legs into their mouths without their bones exploding into goo.
I know, I couldn't say goo.
Ladies and gentlemen at the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
Does he need a sounder?
Tim Riley.
Oh.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents... A City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Okay, here's the story you've been waiting for all day. Comes to us from Detroit. The headline is, Woman Bound, Robbed, and Stepped into an ATM. A woman who was working for a bank was bound, robbed, and stepped inside an ATM the other morning. The woman, who's an employee of ATM Management Company, was doing some work on the automatic teller machine at a LaSalle bank around 7 a.m. She opened the ATM, and the man appeared with a gun in his belt and demanded she give him all the money. The suspect then duct-taped the woman's arms, hands, and mouth, and then shoved her inside the ATM, which is a little bit bigger than she is. To make matters worse, he even stole her purse, wallet, car, and keys. It was extremely traumatic, said Sergeant Rick Baranski of the police department.
I wonder how many people came up to use the ATM and were weirded out by the human noise it was making and ran away.
We're getting to that. The woman spent over an hour inside the ATM as people would come up and withdraw money. Suddenly, somebody went to the machine to make a withdrawal when he heard what seemed to be muffled sounds inside the machine. He then called police and sent police and fire crews out and found a woman inside. A $20,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person who stuffed the woman inside the ATM machine.
Minimum wage!
Thank you. Thank you. Little job watch there. Oh. That's like those ATMs at Washington Mutual. Have you noticed that where they're all like, they do the weird faux, we can't possibly be, that's gotta be early.
We're not.
No, those ATMs now where they try to talk to you in human language, where instead of like pick a transaction, it's all like, hey, pal, how's it going? Would you like a receipt?
I haven't seen one of those yet.
Have you? They have it. The one on the Washington Mutual on 39th and Hawthorne has it. Use the ATM. Notice I did not say ATM machine. Use ATM and it's all like, hey there, would you? I swear to God, it's like that shipboard computer Eddie in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Hey, pal, how are you doing today? Would you like a receipt? And then instead of the options are yes or no, the options are like, sure. And like, no, thank you. And if you say like, sure, it's all like, hey, great. Can I help you with anything else today? And it's freaky.
So then you put your paycheck in and they say, is that all?
And then you work in radio. So it's all very unnerving.
We noticed you haven't overdrawn a check in the last week or so. Is there something wrong?
Oh, I think we're out of time and I think I'm out of energy. I have nothing I can get to here. Okay, well, here's what's coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show. This is a guarantee. This is not a guarantee. This is like a forward promote is what this is.
We accomplished everything we set out to accomplish today.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No. Coming up tomorrow, Matt the Law Lindland will be in studio from Sport Fight. And talk about Sport Fight 15, which is coming up this Saturday, April 8th. And he'll talk about the city versus suburbs bout they're doing, which is going to be fantastic, by the way. And then I'll be there this weekend doing part of that. Now we are now today 16 days away from Listener Party 9, still to be named. We got some real strong contenders today. I got to say, the Emerson Strikes Back is pretty good. We had It's About Time. That's not bad. That radio station sucked. That was our own Sarah Dillon suggesting that one. That one's not bad. The Passion of the Fans is good.
But what's the best?
We did have Listener Party 9, Kissing My Ass. And we'll have to... Basically, I'm just going to give it a good 21 hours and see if anybody says anything to me about that. That presumes that other people in this company listen to this radio show, which I think is unlikely in the extreme. In the extreme! We want to thank CNN Radio. So Matt the Law Lindland's going to be here tomorrow. Also, that's it, I think. Well, I'll be talking about Listener Party 9 tomorrow, which is coming up in 16 days. Thursday, April 20th, Sabalas Mount Tabor, 49th and Hawthorne. Be listening. The website is rickemerson.com. You can also find Tim Riley's blog at timrileymedia.com and sarahxdillon.com. We want to thank senior radio correspondents Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and Gary Baumgarten for joining us today. Like us at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow, my friends. Bye.